This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to Fine Tuning with Drew Taylor, your one-stop shop when it comes to animation news and commentary. I'm entertainer writer Jim Hill, and Mr. Taylor, whose writings on the industry you can read regularly over at The Wrap, and whose musings on the Mission Impossible movies you can listen to on the Light the Fuse podcast, he and I are recording this week's show on Friday, February 17th, 2023. By the way, Drew, February 17th is National Random Acts of Kindness Day, and the day that the show actually goes live online, February 21st, is both National Pancake Day and National Sticky Bun Day. And as a diabetic, I think my random act of kindness is I'm going to pretend that I never heard about February 21st being Pancake Day and Sticky Bun Day, and hopefully my blood sugar...
Sticky Bun Day, like a Cinnabon type sticky bun?
I think if we're doing a family-friendly show, yes, Drew, that is what we're talking about. So,
all right.
Anyway, well, how was your week? What did you do?
Oh, it's great. You know, I just worked like crazy, and now we're at the end of the week. And so, Jim, when recording a show with you is kind of a reprieve from the madness. You know things are really screwed up. You know what I mean?
Yes. There's something wrong there, Drew. Okay. Anyway, folks, lots of animation news this week, so let's get to it. And as always, the news portion of this week's Fine Tuning is brought to you by Storybook Destinations, trusted travel partner of the Jim Hill Media Podcast Network. For a worry-free travel experience every time, please book online at storybookdestinations.com. Okay, Drew, I don't need to tell you, you live out in L.A. We're deep into award season now, 3.5 weeks out from the actual Academy Awards ceremony. Official voting for this year's Oscar begins on March 2nd and then formally ends on the 7th. And what's weird about this period now is it true? Do they believe that, you know, these sort of secondary awards, you know, how films do, ultimately influences how people vote for the Oscars?
You mean all the, like, technical guilds and all that
stuff?
That's
it, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that, you know, people have amazing ways of figuring out who's actually going to win based on certain awards. And, oh, it picked up a SAG nomination, but it didn't do this, you know. But, yeah, it's just fun to watch that all kind of play out.
Well, the Visual Effects Society held its 21st annual VES Awards earlier this week on Wednesday, February 15th, and that was at the Beverly Hilton. And to the surprise of absolutely no one, James Cameron's Avatar The Way of Water dominated, took home an unprecedented 9 awards. But because this is an animation news podcast, Drew and I are here to talk about that aspect of this year's VES. And Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio was the most honored animated feature at this year's event. It took home the trophy for Best Animated Feature and also won in a couple of side categories. It took home the award for Outstanding Visual Effects in an Animated Feature. Likewise, the Outstanding Animated Character in an Animated Feature. That last award was specifically for the title character in Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. And also took home an award for Outstanding Created Environment in an Animated Feature. In this case, it was for the inside of the stomach of a sea monster.
I would have said that the Death's Little Room would be my favorite set from that movie. But yes, that was a good one too, the monster's belly.
That was. Yeah. Now, Puss in Boots: The Last Wish didn't walk away empty-handed. It also took home a VES award for Outstanding Effects Simulations in an Animated Feature. And I still feel like this year's Oscar battle, at least when it comes to Animated Feature, is still shaking out to be a showdown between Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio and DreamWorks Animation's Puss in Boots. And, you know, I think you were talking about that last week, that this Joel Crawford film seems to really have a lot of people going, that's good work.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that from many people.
Okay.
Yeah. I was at DreamWorks last week talking to Joel again, mm-hmm. and there's just so much goodwill around the movie, and I think it has a real chance.
Well, the next set of tea leaves that get to be read, those come on Saturday, February 25th. That's when the 50th annual Annie Awards gets underway. The voting is going on now. It started on February 10th. It's being held online. It will wrap on Sunday, February 19th. And there's 37 categories. This is television, this is gaming, this is feature film. But it'll be interesting to see how Puss in Boots does this time around against Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, because this is largely the professional animation community that's voting on this, right?
Yes, and I think we know that Puss in Boots might take these mm-hmm. awards, because DreamWorks has a controversial history of making every single one of its employees mm-hmm. join this guild so that they can vote for whatever the DreamWorks movie mm-hmm. is that year. Okay. So, yeah. All right. You know about this,
no,
right?
No, absolutely. But I think what's different this time around is I think a lot of people do, in fact, believe that Puss in Boots: The Last Wish deserves some recognition. Now, just a bit more Puss in Boots news, folks. Last Wish, the digital version of this Gerald Crawford film, will be available for purchase the day the show goes live. That's Tuesday, February 21st. While the physical version of this DreamWorks animation thing, which will be available in 4K Ultra HD, Blu-ray, and DVD, and will come with an all-new short as well as deleted scenes, that hit store shelves on Tuesday, February 28th. And while we're talking about DreamWorks Productions, can we please talk about this live-action version of How to Train Your Dragon that literally just got officially announced over at Universal?
Sure. What do you want to talk about?
Okay. First of all, Dean DuBois, who co-directed the first film in this animated trilogy with Chris Sanders, and then helmed the two follow-up films in this animated series as Solo. He's back as the writer, producer, director of this live-action How to Train Your Dragon. And we trust Dean, right? We like Dean.
We love Dean. Dean is the best. And I will say that Dean is still working on an animated movie right now, too. He has not totally given up animation.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
I cannot tell you where he is making that movie, but he's making a movie. So,
okay.
Yeah. And he's wanted to make a live-action movie for so mm-hmm. long. He sold a bunch of scripts, some really cool-sounding scripts.
Like the Banshee, right? Wasn't that one of his, or...?
There was The Banshees and Finn McGee.
There we go.
There was a psychological thriller called The Lighthouse. Mm. There was something called Sightings, mm-hmm. which I think would have predated Stranger Things in terms of that Amblin-y type mm-hmm. adventure story. So he's really been wanting to do live action for a long time, and I'm glad he's finally getting to do it. With a property he knows so well. Maybe they'll let him kill off the Cate Blanchett character this time, or make her the villain, unlike in the animated one. Katzenberg's nowhere to be seen, Jim.
Another Christmas card list you're coming out of. This is literally Universal taking DreamWorks Animation and doing what Disney has been doing with its animated features since 2015. That's when the live-action version of Cinderella arrived in theaters. In fact, it was 8 years ago this week that Kenneth Branagh film cost $95 million to make and then went on to make over $500 million worldwide, and the mouse never looked back. And by the way, folks, if you want to read an absolutely amazing story about these very same films, the Disney live action films that come from the animated features, when did you do that piece? That was like a year or so ago, right? You read?
It was before Aladdin went into production.
Really?
So it was a little while ago, okay. But it's me and Sean Bailey kind of talking about the approach, right?
Yeah, and it is an absolutely fascinating piece. That wasn't for The Wrap, though, was it? Or
no, that was for Vulture.
Definitely seek that one out, folks. So anyway, back to the live action How to Train Your Dragon, which has a March 14th, 2025 release date already locked in. And in that exact same window of time is when Epic Universe is supposed to open in Orlando with its very own How to Train Your Dragon Land, which I have to assume is based on the animated films, not the live action. But I really loved the very first How to Train Your Dragon. And the other two are good, but the first one is almost a damn near perfect movie. I just don't want Dean to f*** this up. Sometimes a live action film based on an animated film takes away from the animated film. And I don't want that to happen because I really, really, really like the story of Hiccup and Toothless, and still dying to see what he could do with this. And as Drew just pointed out, this is a guy who's been aching to get into live action forever. So, and I guess what better property to step into the live action world than something he knows like the back of his hand. But speaking of live action versions of animated films, Hollywood Reporter reported just today that Zach Galifianakis is supposed to play a role in Disney's live action version of Lilo and Stitch. Do we know anything about this role?
If you read my write-up on the Wrap, you'll learn who he plays in the Lilo and Stitch. Because I had this scoop 10 days ago.
Okay.
And Disney said, wait on it. And then Hollywood Reporter beat me to the punch. But...
okay, please tell me. Please tell me.
He will be playing Pleakley.
Pleakley, really?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, I can go with that too.
You thought it was going to be Jumba?
I thought, you know, it was either one of those two. That's all I wanted. And it's like, I don't get Jumba. I wonder who they're going to get to, because David Ogden Stier's, you know, vocal performance there was just so much fun. But he'd be a good Pleakley. Though I do feel bad for Kevin McDonald, because to be honest, he's a great Pleakley.
He is a great Pleakley, but we got to separate this, Jim. It can't be Lion King. It can't be. Mm-hmm. We're just bringing everybody back, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good choice. And Dean Fleischer Camp is an excellent filmmaker. So
I was about to ask you about that, because I mean when I saw that, reaching out to the guy who did Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, that's a great choice.
Yeah, and he's been working on it for a little while, so it's nearing the start of production. Mm-hmm. I think just based on. Me catching up with him over the last few months during the Oscar race. So, it's full steam ahead, Jim. I can't wait to see what they do with it. This has a real opportunity to be something different, and I hope they let him do that.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. All right, please put me on speed dial. I want to know when you know about Jumba. Okay.
I will let you know.
All right. Speaking of the live-action Disney things, we got our... a teaser trailer for The Little Mermaid. I guess it went out into theaters attached to Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. You'd like to talk about Flounder, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, I actually don't know where this was a 30-second long tease as part of the 100th something something. Yep. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it was probably a Super Bowl spot that they ended up just not paying for and putting online. So... mm-hmm. But there's this one shot of Flounder that has been all over Twitter because it is pure nightmare fuel. I'm sure you've seen this still, Jim, of him jumping out of the water.
I think you and I are in different social media channels, because all I've been seeing is that 10th of a second close-up of Ursula's eyes.
The darkest image you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. No, that's it exactly. You know, just enhance. And it's like, okay. All right, I promise after I finish this show, I will go in search of the Flounder, but it really is nightmare fuel. Really?
Yeah, it's a little weird. I mean, we saw him in the Part of Your World sequence, but you didn't get a good look at his face. This one shot is just like, it's pretty weird. It's pretty weird. But I just talked to Rob Marshall a week or so ago about the anniversary of Chicago, and he said he's nearing completion. It's been, you know, 4 years of his life that he's been working on this. And he's very excited to finally get it out. So,
had they actually started production when the pandemic shut everything down? I mean, I want to say they'd built sets and that sort of thing, but
yeah,
they had to walk away for months, right?
Yeah, it'll be an interesting story when the movie comes out about what went on during that production, because you know, Henson designed puppets that they used on set as stand-ins, and there's a lot of stuff that we will talk about, I'm sure, in the next few months. Related to Little Mermaid, yeah.
All right, good. All right, and while we're continuing along this line of live-action versions of animated films, in this case, we're talking about stuff that, well, at least started on the stage. And I remember last year we were talking about the live stage version of Hayao Miyazaki's Academy Award winning Spirited Away and how it had been mounted in Japan and then filmed. And I got all excited and you broke it to me gently that, like, Jim, that's only going to be shown in Japan. It's not coming stateside. You know, cool your jets. Well, as it turns out, just last week, it was revealed that G Kids has acquired the U.S. distribution rights. Evidently, there were two performances of the stage version of Spirited Away that were filmed. And on each night, a different young actress played Chihiro, the young girl that powers that story. So we don't have an official release date other than it will be in theaters sometime this spring. But if you want the full Spirited Away experience, the stage version, you're going to have to go back twice to see both performances with a different actress playing the Chihiro in this thing.
Well, yeah, and I think they'll both be out on a Blu-ray release, too, sometime this year. Both been available on various Japanese streaming services since Christmas last year. So, yeah, this we're a little late, but I'm excited we're going to get to see it.
Okay, well, same thing here. And speaking of getting to see it, Nancy and I have not purchased our tickets yet, but Disney's Hercules started performances at the Paper Mill Playhouse in New Jersey last night, February 16th. It continues through March 19th with the official opening of this production on March 1st. And I went over to all that chat on Talking Broadway, the musical fan site. What's amazing about the folks on all that chat is, like, the night that a show goes into previews and that sort of thing, they've got somebody there and they're back sharing immediately. And so far, no Hercules news. So very much looking to hear, because again, this is the first production since that one that was done at the Public Theater in Central Park back in 2019. So
yep.
And that one had the cast of 200. This one is closer to a cast of 20.
Well, I think this is one of the ones that's built for the road show performances, right?
So they say. Though I remember talking with the folks at Disney Theatrical, and for example, when they did Newsies, it was literally because so many colleges and high schools had done illegal productions of Newsies that it was like, look, we need to create a version of the show that we can license that then can be performed at high schools and colleges. And you know, ended up being this huge success, played on Broadway 2.5 years, went on the road and make buku bucks for Disney. So that's kind of also the same business plan here with Hercules. The notion is we need an official licensed version so we can then turn around and go to the high schools and go to the colleges who write to Disney Theatrical, or excuse me, Disney on Broadway, all the time and say, hey, we want to do Hercules. Do you have a script? So anyway, going from going the distance to going to a galaxy far, far away, when Drew and I get back from this break, we are going to talk about some animation-related Star Wars stuff. Before we get to talking about Star Wars Vision Season 2, Drew, you wanted to talk about, first of all, we've got that great-looking trailer for The Magician's Elephant. That's Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's Netflix in March, and it's the first Netflix movie. Why I think it's worth talking about is it's the first Animalogic production since Netflix bought them. And they think they have one more. Oh, the Adam Sandler lizard movie that they previewed a few weeks ago is also Animalogic production. So, yeah, The Magician's Elephant looks really sweet. It's got a really nice look, and it looks very magical. And the trailer is out now. Yeah,
I agree. Seemed to have a lovely story hook with a boy who's willing to do anything to reunite with his sister. So looking forward to that. On the other hand, all right, talk to me about the Digman trailer.
Yeah, I don't know what to make about the Digman trailer. It's obviously, they've tried so many animated shows from the South Park lead-in, and this is yet another adult animated series on Cartoon Network. Mm-hmm. And it's Andy Samberg is sort of playing a adventurer type guy. It's got a great voice cast, but I wasn't super enthralled by the animation. How did you feel?
How many shows have we seen go into that spot that just didn't take? But on the other hand, when it happens, when that audience gets behind you, well, of course, we're kind of waiting to see what happens next with Rick and Morty now. But yeah, I mean, in that space, in that time, when you hit big. So it is Andy Samberg, who's done some great voice work for animation. So
should we remain cautiously optimistic, Jim? Is that where we're netting?
There we go.
This?
Okay. Have I been wishy-washy enough with what I'm saying there? So what I love about the age we live in now is when you have a giant film that is, you know, going to arrive in theaters soon, you look for unique ways to promote it. So let's talk about this Super Mario Brothers plumbing commercial.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was so cute. It was, I think, a pre-Super Bowl spot. Mm-hmm. And it was just them. It was an ad for their plumbing business. And mm-hmm. I thought it was really funny and clever. And they used the music. And I thought, what did you think, Jim?
Anything that puts you front of mind that isn't come see the movie, come see the movie, I get behind. So this is this Comcast, which owns Universal, which owns Illuminations, which owns theme parks. So, you know, I'm sure you saw this week when they did the official grand opening event for Super Nintendo World, who makes an appearance there. But Chris Pratt, the voice of Mario, you know, from the Super Mario.
Oh,
game.
I was there, Jim. I saw
were you really?
Mr. Pratt.
Oh.
With my own two eyes, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I assumed, given that, you know, you got in there so early.
Yeah.
Oh, so you went back for the actual grand opening. How cool.
Yeah, Katie hadn't done Mario Kart, so we went. And, you know, she liked it a lot. I mean, of course, you know, when the fireworks went off, my first thought was, oh, my God, my dog is freaking out. Because we live so close to Universal, you know, but everything was fine. We had a great time. Seeing Shigeru Miyamoto was really special. That was the highlight for me. Mm-hmm. And then people like Brie Larson were there because she's like a Nintendo ambassador, as is Chance the Rapper. And so it was a true mixture of Universal and Nintendo personalities in one kind of like one package. So yeah.
Well, cool.
Everybody was there.
I'm so glad you got to do that. Holy cow. Okay.
Yeah.
What's kind of interesting, of course, about Super Nintendo World is a highly themed environment. And what's interesting is, of course, the yardstick these days about highly themed environments are Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And by the way, Drew, you could speak authoritatively because you were there during the construction phase and you got into the land. What do you think?
About Mario Land in terms of...
I would argue that there are three rather spectacular themed lands there. I mean, you obviously have the Wizarding World of Harry Potter up at the top of the hill, but equally good, I think, is Springfield, USA, the Simpsons land. In fact, what I've always found fascinating is how that land effectively acts as a berm for the Wizarding World. But now here's Mario, and how does it stack up, do you think?
I really love the land. I think it's really well done, and the ride is really unlike anything you've ever done before, like in a genuine way. But yeah, it's going to be it'll be interesting to see how people respond. I really am curious how many people they can cram in there, because it's really tight quarters. But I'm very impressed, and I think that the continued transformation of Universal Studios Hollywood, which was referred to by the president of Universal Studios
there we
Hollywood
go.
At the event.
Mark Woodbury, yes. Okay.
Yep. It was also nice to see a lot of faces that have recently been dismissed at the event. Like Mr. Hightower, Mr. Koo were there, and it was yeah.
Oh, wow. Well,
it was me kind of walking through the crowd like this, Jim, trying not to make myself. But
okay.
Yeah, I think it's really great. And, you know, you and I are kind of privy to some things that are happening down the line at Hollywood Studios. But what's great about Universal is, like, it's not going to be 6 years. You're going to see this transformation very quickly some very exciting projects that are really going to put this park on the map in a really fun way. And, I can't wait.
All right. We had promised we'd talk about some Star Wars animation-related news. So, you know, these days, because it's Disney, you know, that they're trying to do Star Wars Cradle to Grave. So first we have Star Wars Young Jedi Adventures. That's going to debut on Disney Plus and Disney Junior. It's aimed at the preschool, grade school, and their families audience. That drops on May 4th of this year, but on that very same day, we get Star Wars Visions Volume 2, which is a follow-up to the original Star Wars Vision, which debuted in the streaming service back on September 21st, 2021. And I was confused, Drew. I actually had to go back. I thought, wait a minute, was that Disney Plus Day, which last year they moved that to September 8th, but we got drilled into our head when the channel first went live that Disney Plus Day was, what, November 12th? So I don't know who I'm supposed to be saluting at this point, but we got 9 shorts in 2021. Again, we're getting 9 shorts in 2023. But what excited you was just the number of animation studios that are taking part in this from all over the planet, right?
Yeah, I think there weren't as many studios the first time around, and they were all Japanese animation studios, which was great.
All true.
And I think that what's really fun about this new batch is that they are from around the world, that we have a much bigger concentration on European studios, and as well as the, you know, there's still some anime in there as well, but a Mexican studio, which is super exciting. And we should go down the list, Jim, because this is great.
Let's start then with The Sith. What excites you about that one?
Well, Rodrigo Blas wrote and directed this, and he is from Trollhunters. He's an absolutely amazing guy, and this is one that's animated by the Mexican studio El Guiri, and yeah, I can't wait. This is going to be amazing. And then, you know, the next one, Jim, Screecher's Reach.
Yeah.
From our favorite place.
Cartoon Saloon. You know,
Cartoon Saloon. Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting year for the folks there, because face it, we just got My Father's Dragon over at Netflix, and of course, we had Wolfwalker. What was it, the BAFTA that it managed to take home this past year, even though it was released in, what, 2019, 2020? Again, Award Susan always confuses me. But again, I always love to see stuff from Cartoon Saloon, so can't wait to see what they do in the Star Wars space.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
On now to In the Stars.
Yeah, so this is from a studio called Punk Robot that is a Chilean studio. It is in Santiago, Chile. And they do really amazing stuff. And I think this is also going to be really exciting to have another sort of Latin American flavor for this collection. And so the next one after that, I Am Your Mother, Jim. We got another favorite of ours here.
No, that's it exactly. That Aardman. And I'm sorry, just that title and the fact that Aardman is doing it. This sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes. And I don't know if you follow Peter Lord on Twitter, Jim, but he said, because, you know, Aardman has done other types of animation. They've done CG animation in the past. They are capable of all sorts of things. But Peter Lord said this was shot at the Aardman studio. So this is going to be a stop motion Star Wars Vision short. So
wow. Okay.
Cannot wait. Yeah.
Okay. This makes me happy.
Yes.
Continuing on down the list, we have Journey to the Dark Head.
So this is from Studio Mirror, which is a Korean animation studio, and they're responsible for a little animated series called Legend of Korra. I don't know if you've heard of it, Jim. They also did The Boondocks and Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beasts, as well as Voltron. So they are another amazing studio, and they're going to give us that anime flavor. They do Harley Quinn for HBO Max, so you know. Very exciting, Jim.
Now suddenly this moves up the list. Wow. Yes. Okay. Well, all right, but moving down the list, we now have The Spy Dancer.
Right. And people need to know why they should be excited about this, because it is written and directed by Julian Cheng from Studio La Cachette. And if you don't know what Studio La Cachette is, that is the animation studio behind Genndy Tartakovsky's Primal, a.k.a. one of the most beautiful and visceral animated series maybe ever. So if this one is not on your list too, Jim, put it up higher, because it's going to be awesome.
And didn't I just see that Primal Season 2 is Blu-ray DVD fairly shortly, right?
Yeah, I think in the spring or summer it's coming out on Blu-ray. Yeah, which put it next to the other one.
Wow. And, okay. Yeah. We continue on down the list here. We have the Bandits of Golak.
Yeah, so this will be the for 88 Pictures is behind this one. Mm-hmm. And they're an Indian animation company that is really exciting. And I think that so this will be the first Indian animated installment of Star Wars Visions.
Ooh. Okay.
And yeah, cannot wait to see all these different perspectives, Jim. I'm just so excited. I'm so excited by these.
The original set of Star Wars Vision had so many unique looks and so many different story styles and that sort of thing. I mean, this was already on my radar, but to hear you talk about the individual studios that are involved here, it makes it that much more exciting. And toward that end, we now approach The Pit.
The Pit. So this is one by D'Art Shajio. I'm going to just mangle that. This is a Japanese animation company, but it says in conjunction with Lucasfilm. So I don't know what that means exactly, but maybe I don't know if ILM is involved or what, but we'll see if there's like kind of mixture of styles or something here. But yeah, very, very exciting. And then Ara's Song, which is the last one. So Triggerfish did this, and they are a South African / Irish company that have done a lot of stop motion too. So we haven't actually gotten confirmation of what the animation style is, if it's traditional animation, if it's stop motion. But yeah, another very exciting kind of global perspective on Star Wars animation. And yeah, cannot wait. I think it's going to be great. And you know, there also, we should say that recently an Art of Star Wars Visions book came out.
I saw that, yes.
For the first season.
Yeah, that came out November of last year, I want to say. It's definitely on my, you know, the next time I'm in Barnes & Noble to snag a copy. All right. Well, again, folks, reminder, all nine of these shirts drop on May 4th, Star Wars Day.
I will say, Jim, if you are going to Star Wars Celebration in March, I think the chances of you seeing some of these are pretty good.
Oh, interesting
point. I'm just going to put that out there. Okay.
That's in London, though, this time around, right? Or...
Oh, it is in London, Governor. Got a Star Wars Celebration, we do. Come on over.
Wow. Okay. We're talking about season two of Star Wars Visions. It's worth noting that season two of Star Wars The Bad Batch, we are now 9 episodes in. Crossing just aired earlier this week. Retrieval, the 10th episode of the season, drops Wednesday, February 22nd, with the season finale, 2-episode programming event, happening on May 29th. While we're talking about Disney Plus related stuff, want to point out the first 6 episodes of Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur are now available for viewing over at Disney Plus. And I don't know if you got to see any of these, Drew, but God, it's a great looking show. It's got some really great writing, some really strong voice acting. It's a charmer. I really hope that this finds its audience. And speaking of charming, I'm getting to the party very, very late here, because this is a film that actually got nominated for an Oscar this year for Best Animated Short. But have you seen The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse?
I regretfully have not, but I saw that Glenn Keane was doing something with
there
it.
There we go.
Recently in LA. He was, yeah.
No, it is such an amazing piece of hand-drawn with some CG elements, but it's illustration on the page quality level for animation. I was just kind of startled, and it's genuinely charming. I mean, I'm honestly hoping at this point that this gets the recognition it deserves on March 12th when it's Oscar time. But again, knowing Drew, there's another film that you hope gets some recognition at Oscar time, a certain Top Gun Maverick, perhaps? Yes?
I'm feeling good about it, Jim. I'm feeling good. Yeah.
Marching up to the Academy Awards, are you guys over at Light the Fuse? Are you pivoting at all to do some Light the Fuselage shows, or what are you going
to
do?
Well, we're waiting to hear. I think everybody's so exhausted from the Oscars, but we're going to try to snag some people. But we don't have anybody confirmed yet, so I can't say anything. But
All right. Well, if you're not listening to Light the Fuse, the wonderful show that Drew does with Charles Hood, you are missing out on so many great behind-the-scenes Hollywood history stories. And if you're looking for podcasts to listen to, we have some other shows here. We, of course, have Disney Dish that I do with Len Tesso. We likewise have Marvelous Disney I do with Aaron Adams. And Brian Gunn and I are, you know, got Looking at Lucasfilm up out of the ground again. So beyond that, I do the show with Drew because I so enjoy listening and hearing to what this guy has to say. And if you're not following Drew on social media, you're missing out on some genuinely fun stuff. So can you tell the nice folks where they can find you on social media?
Sure. It's Drew Tailored, like a tailored shirt, at Instagram and Twitter. Mm-hmm. So go over there and have some fun. I don't know what I'll be doing. Okay. Probably sharing some articles and talking some junk. That's basically okay. That's what I do, Jim.
All right. And we also do the social media thing. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as Jim Hill Media. And over on Facebook is Jim Hill Media News. Let's see, beyond that, if I could ask you a favor here, folks, if you could head over to Apple Podcasts and rate, well, not just the show you're listening to right now, Fine Tuning, but also Light the Fuse. That would be helpful to myself and Drew. And if you really, really, really like what you hear here, if you head over to Bandcamp and subscribe, well, that'll make it possible for me to go buy a copy of Star Wars Visions, The Art of Book. So I think that's going to do it for this week, Drew. Here's hoping that you and Katie have a lovely President's Day weekend. Just be wary of National Pancake and Sticky Monday. And I guess we'll be back soon.